who's a big, strong guy now, but I can remember when he was born. I was there before he was a whole day old. His mother, Dr. Michelle, is here with him. They traveled from Vacaville today. But I think he would probably tell you that you can't get the muscles and so forth that he has without work. Would that be correct? He's a football player, and he plays in college now, that you have to put in work. And if you put in the work, then there's a good possibility you might bulk up some here. And for those who have the potential, you could even get bigger than that, I guess, you know. Now, I must admit, I've never put in the work, obviously. But if you desire to physically look like that or to get those kind of muscles, and I think probably all men, it's a man thing. We all would like to, you know, we get around other folk. Chris, tell me if I'm wrong or not. We get around other folk that got muscles. We kind of be going like this too, you know. And we want people to think, you know, we got it. And I guess women do too. I don't know. You know, there's something about health and strength. The key thing I want you to know is that you don't get there without what? Putting in the work. It doesn't just happen. For Michelle, the mama of this young man here, you're an academic. And the same would go true here. I was there when she received her doctor of psychology. Cheryl and I both watched her move up through the ranks of her degrees. And it doesn't just happen. Am I making sense to you? It doesn't just happen, but that one has to put in the work. It doesn't mean that everybody will end up where she has or where somebody else that you know may have in terms of their degrees, or like I believe that's Einstein. Is that right? And then hockey. I bet you don't know him. He's actually, he's a grown-up now. He's a young adult. This man, young man, Romani Wilfred, supposed to be one of the 10 smartest people in the world. In the world. Now, how do you figure that out? I don't know, but that must be something, that from a little kid, they were watching him, and they helped him to put in the work. So the question then for us this morning, and that I want you to think about, because I would think that a good many people, maybe not everybody, but a good many of us here believe that not only do we have a physical side, a mental side, intellectual side, but we have a spiritual side. How do we get some muscle into the spirit? As a matter of fact, if I were to tell you how to, if I could, how to lift weights and so forth, probably I'd empty the place. But I think most of us are interested in this whole notion of spiritual strength. I know I am. Whenever I think I have achieved a good place of it, Cheryl, I find out that there are some things in life that not only can cripple you physically or cripple you mentally, but can cripple you spiritually if you're not building on it, if you're not working on it. So a couple of people that come to mind when I think about spiritual strength are Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and M.L. King. All of them did something that to me was very significant. And I put Gandhi up here. I know Gandhi's not a Christian, though my understanding is I think he started out a Christian, but he became a Hindu. And he said that I would be a Christian if it wasn't for the church. Now, you have to deal with that the way you want to deal with it. But he did a lot of good for people. And he helped me to understand in my studies of Gandhi that, first of all, when you want to have change, and especially for people who are sociologically kept out or at the bottom of the rung in a caste system, because you remember he worked the outcasts, people who were the lowest of the Indian populations, that you use peaceful means. And Martin Luther King was one who learned from him that. Now, if Gandhi were alive today, he's not alive, but if he were alive, Brenda, I would tell him about Jesus, though. Because my discovery for spiritual strength is that it is the only one that really gets us in touch with the one who has strength. In other words, there is strength in you, like the physical and the mental. There is strength in you, and there is spiritual strength in you. You were born with a spirit. The only problem is your flesh spirit is never going to be strong enough. It will let you down. And if you've ever had to depend on it, it will let you down at the worst possible time. So as I am thinking about a picture of spiritual strength, I want you to know that a lot of you, I could have put your picture up there. I could have put your picture up there. That's right. Because I think you already know what I'm going to preach to you about in terms of how to get this. And so basically what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be adding to what I think you already know. And we're going to be looking at Luke, the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 14th verses. Luke, the 4th chapter. This is the center person in the story. This is Jesus in the wilderness. You also find a similar story in Matthew, the 4th chapter. Jesus has just been baptized in Luke 3, so he's raring to go. And in Luke 5, he's calling the disciples. But it is in Luke 4 that I learn, and I want to teach you this morning about spiritual strength. First of all, I want you to know that your strength for those who are saved is the Holy Spirit within you. Jesus has come into our lives, and along with Jesus comes the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so we have a strength in us that you can't add to. You can't fix it. It can't get no better than what it is. It is already the most perfect strength that there is in the world. As a matter of fact, it is all powerful. It is all omniscient. It is all ever present everywhere. It has all of that in one. So you can't go out and get weights or go out and do something to make it stronger. It is already as strong as it can be. But what you can do is allow it to strengthen you. Am I making sense this morning? Y'all want me to go on? All right. No more tears this morning. We're going to preach. The key word is trust. If you want the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you have to trust the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Luke 4, 1a, that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Well, obviously, he's God, so he's already full. We are the ones that are not born. Nobody in here was born with the Holy Spirit. There is a way that you get the Holy Spirit, which happened in chapter 3. He got baptized. I'm talking about for us, which says that he accepted. We accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We get the Holy Spirit. We get the Father, the Creator. It says that he was full of the Holy Spirit, but then in Luke 4:14, it says something a little bit different. This is the end of our story, Olga. It's the end of our story. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power. He went in better. He comes out better than what he went in. He goes in full, which means it tells me that there are many of us, including me, that sometime we walk around. I would say this, if you're saved, you're always full. If you are saved, you're always full. You always have the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in you. But you may not have the power. You may not have had the power released. And that's what we need. That's what I need. That's what I think everybody needs. And it says, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. So, I would think you'd be sitting there saying, well, Dr. G, hurry up and tell us, what are these, where do I need to be trusting the Holy Spirit in order for me to get more power? Well, I think Jesus lays it out very plain for us, and there are four truths that come out here. Here's the first one. Trust in the Holy Spirit's leading. Trust in the Holy Spirit's leading. You've got the Spirit in you. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but you saw it clearly in the Old Testament in what's called God's Shekinah glory. Shekinah glory. That was the angel and the fighting angel at the Red Sea and the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. It was the Shekinah glory, but it was actually God's Spirit that led the people of Israel out of Egypt going into the Promised Land. Well, that same Spirit, the Spirit of God, will lead you if you trust him. The Word of God says in its fullness in verse number 1, Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led. Jesus doesn't just go by himself, but he was led by the Spirit down to Mar-a-Lago, over to the White House. No, he was led by the Spirit, and for those who may not know, those are some pretty plush places. But the desert is known for being a desolate place. It's known for being a hard place. It's known for being a difficult place. What am I saying to you? All I'm saying to you is that though the Holy Spirit can lead you to some places where you say, oh, I'm blessed, I have a new car, he can also take you into some places where you don't have a new car. He can take you into some places that are extremely hard. But my hope is that you will trust him, because wherever he leads you, there is where the power will come out. Can I get a witness here? Is there anybody here besides me that has experienced this? When I was a child, my mother gave me two medicines today I can't stand. One was milk of magnesia, that pink stuff, I think it is. White stuff. And the other one was cod liver oil. I forget. Both of them. Terrible. But we didn't have all of the vaccines that they have today. And I guess it got us through because it made me stronger. I didn't know it was working. I didn't know how it was doing what it do. But my mama, who only went to the third grade, she knew that if I could just get this nasty stuff in you, can I get a witness here? If I could just get it in you, I trust I have seen it work before. As a matter of fact, if I just get it in you, even though you may not trust it, I trust it. And we'll be able to see the power of that medicine in your life. Well, when we trust the Holy Spirit, He doesn't always take us. I'm not saying that He doesn't take us into some nice places. Believe me, I've seen that too. But I've been into some milk and magnesia places. I've been to some cod liver oil places as an adult. And I've learned that God can use all of those experiences to make you stronger spiritually. Can I get a witness? Scripture says in Psalms 37:23, King James translation, the steps of a good man are ordered. In other words, he already knows where you're supposed to go. I like where it says in Psalms that I wrote down every day that was planned for you in my book. I knew it was supposed to come. The only time that you ever experience a hardship where you don't have the power of God around you is when you don't have me. If I'm leading you, you may go through a valley. Oh, you may even go through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And he delighteth in his way. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways. I'm in this hard spot right now, Micah. I'm in this tough situation, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why we're in this situation, but I do know who knows everything. And that's who I trust in. He leads me, and I will follow. Number two, trust the Holy Spirit's teaching. First, trust the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, trust the Holy Spirit's teaching. Where for 40 days he led him into the desert. 40 days he hadn't eaten anything. And he was tempted by the devil. You remember how the devil got here. We talked about that a couple of weeks. God kicked him out of heaven. There was only two places when God created the world, and that was the heavens and the earth. God kicks him out. He's down here already. Jesus was there at the beginning because Jesus is God. He says, I believe it's Matthew, that I saw him fall from heaven. So he was there for 40 days. He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. I would imagine he was starving because he's God, but he's also human. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, that man does not live on bread alone. What was Jesus saying to him? You have to look at Matthew 4:4. Remember, this story runs parallel. That's why they call it gospel parallels. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, and he answers, he makes a place. Jesus answered, it's written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's not saying, though some of us could miss a meal or two, but he's not saying that you should stop eating. Or this is not a verse necessarily to promote fasting here, but it is a verse to let us know that when you are studying God's word, you are actually eating the very power that God has for you through his word. If you were to tell somebody, if your son or daughter would tell you that I want to go to medical school, and they said, fine, and they said, why you want to go to medical school? Oh, I hear it, medical school, they have great lunches there. They have ham sandwiches and peanut butter and jelly, I don't know, whatever it is that you'd like, and you'd say, well, you're not going to waste my good tuition money at that school, and that's all you want to go there for? Because if you don't want to go to eat those medical books, I'm not going to pay that tuition. I'm not going to support you and just going there so that you can sit up and eat the best food that they have in the school. Can I get a witness here? Well, Jesus is saying that man does not live on bread alone. He's saying on physical food. That's not the only thing that will feed you. You need spiritual food. And the spiritual food for you that the Holy Spirit takes and blows up inside of us is the Word of God. That's why, Ken, we can talk about it all day long. We could have taken that Bible study and gone the whole morning with it. Why is that? Because we're full of that Word. And that Word inside of us gives us the nutrients, the calcium, the protein, the same way that the food does. You'd never buy a protein or a calcium. It doesn't look good. But you might buy a steak. Might not be a bad idea today, right? You buy those things because it's been encapsulized and God put it in something that is attractive to your taste bud. Well, God's not playing when he says, oh, taste. Y'all don't hear me. And see how good the Lord is. That when you eat his word, you become way more powerful. You become able to withstand things that you normally would not be able to withstand under normal circumstances. And I am not saying that you are the sum total of what you know. Because faith doesn't just work like that. It does help you to know. But I believe that you are more than your sum total. You are more than every book you have read. You are more than all the schools that you have gone to. You are more than all the professors that you have sat under. When you sit under the Holy Spirit, you discover that he can do more than you can think or imagine with what you have. I've seen people with faith like my mama who had a third grade education, or my daddy that never finished high school, do more than I could think or imagine because of the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense to you? Psalm 119, 133 says, direct my footsteps according to your word. I don't care what we say. You go to any school in the land, the strength of that school is going to be its library. And you know what happens? The old library books, they generally get sent down somewhere where nobody even goes to read them. That's because the knowledge keeps changing. But Georgia, the Word of God, the precious Old Testament and New Testament, it is the same yesterday. Y'all don't hear me. It is the same today. He says, don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. Don't do anything to it. Just take it in. Just eat it. It will direct your footsteps. It'll give you the power to make the decisions and the discernments that you need to make in life, because you're going to get influences from all over the place in terms of what do you ought to do now and what do you ought to do next when God stands there and he says, I want you to come my way. Everybody's saying to you, go this way, go that way. I'm saying, go my way. And if I could just get you to do my way, you're going to find yourself stronger in every area of your life. Can I get a witness here? You know, I get a feeling that's why people show up at church. They don't understand. Sometimes they think, they say, but you know, it's just a few of y'all going to be there. There's only a couple of y'all going to be there. Well, we're not going for the couple. We're not going for the building. We're not going for the pews. We're going to be fed the word of God so that we might be able to face whatever it is we've got to face this week. I know I'm not the only one in here that's got challenges. I know I'm not the only one in here that's going through some tough times. And I'm saying to you, the same God that said, let the Holy Spirit lead you, in the same God who was saying, eat my word, is saying, trust that the Holy Spirit will take that word and lead you in a way that you'll make it. Oh, I have no doubt I'm going to make it. But that doubt is not based on me, or that non-doubt is not based on me, but it's based on my relationship to the vine. I'm a branch of the vine. I'm not the vine. Don't confuse me with the vine. I'm a branch of the vine. And as long as the vine is alive, and you can't kill God, and you can't make me doubt him, I know everything is going to be all right. John 14, 26, it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. You know, I wish that some of you could have been in the Bible study this morning. I want to encourage you to come. We have a good Bible study class at 9:30. Good students in there. There was a young fella in there, about 13, 14 years old. 14. He was here a minute ago, but he's gone now. But he spoke so intelligently and eloquently about his position in terms of what we were studying this morning. And it made me once again realize that the Holy Spirit, who is God, never tell your children you can't learn. Never tell your children you're not smart enough. I don't care what everybody else may say. Never tell them you can't. My job as a parent is to expose that child to everything I possibly can. It is the Holy Spirit's job to take that exposure and take it to the potentiality. I don't know what that is, and I can't look at you and tell, but I do know that God knows exactly what it is. He says that he will teach you all things. Do y'all hear me? So when they're doing the math, don't tell them because you didn't study it, it's too hard. When they're studying the science, don't tell them because you didn't study it that it's too hard. You tell them, baby, there's somebody who knows more about math than I do. There's somebody who knows more about science than I do. There's somebody who knows more about psychology than I do. There's somebody who knows more about everything than I do. And he lives inside of you. You just have to trust him. You don't have to look at somebody else and be jealous of what they have or what they can do. Whatever God's put inside of you, he already knows exactly the potentiality of that knowledge inside of you. Am I making sense to you this morning? He says he'll teach you all things. Of course I'm going to teach you about the word, but I'll teach you about everything. I made everything. I know what the world is supposed to do, and I know how it's supposed to run. I just need you to agree with me. Ephesians 1:17, Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You know, let's face it, for church, our primary job, I mean, I know we do a lot of things that are good, and we do a lot of things, even in education, that are good. But the primary job of the church is to help people know God better. That's the primary job of us who call ourselves the people of faith. Can I get a witness? Is that we believe when you know God better, beyond the muscles, you know, because if you just know God as the muscles, what will you do? You'll be calling on him. That big old boy picking on me, and I need you, God, to go over there and take care of that. You see, that's what you do in the flesh. Or when you want God to give you something, or when you want God to make you feel good. Paul says, I wish that you might have the spirit of the wisdom and revelation, and that's a capital S spirit, Holy Spirit, so that, here's the consequences, you'll know him better. This morning, Cheryl and I had some pretty tough episodes in terms of the sciatica and so forth. And both of us, none of us really could help each other because we were just where we were. Am I making sense to you? But when I asked her, and I every now and then I'd ask her, is there anything I can do? She says, no, there's nothing you can do. And so you know, she's just sit there and pray. That's what you do. You pray. You pray. And she's got an exercise routine that, let me tell you, that'll make some of those folk on YouTube, she needs to make some of those videos so that folks can see. You know, I mean, she can really ball herself up and stretch herself out to get those muscles loose. I'm so proud of her. But I'm glad to say I trust you enough that you're going to do what you need to do for self-care. That even though I'm supposed to be the man, y'all don't hear me. Because, you know, it's a male thing. We're supposed to fix it. If you got a problem, we're supposed to fix it. That I can't fix that. But I've got to trust that the one she trusts will give her the power. She's got to trust that the one I trust is going to give me the power. Am I making sense to you? Now, do y'all want me to stop, or do you want me to go on with these last two? You want the last two? You want the last? Okay, I can understand that. They're not that long. I won't take very long with them. All right, so the first one. And you know what? I'll tell you how to remember these. LTLT. Holy Spirit leading. Holy Spirit teaching. Now trust the Holy Spirit's loving. Trust the Holy Spirit's loving. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I'll give you all their authority. In other words, I'll make you the king over all of this and the splendor. It has been given to me. In other words, when the Father kicked me out of heaven, he said that this was all mine. And so I want you to know, I'll give it to you. And I can give it to anybody I want to. So if you, the only reason I'll give it to you is if you worship me. Now you have to understand that worship means that you are the highest of my adoration. You are the highest of my love. You are the highest in terms of my relationship, my value. I value you over everything. He says, so if you worship me, if you bow down to me, the English word is recipe, which means to bow down, it will all be yours. Jesus answered. I got a feeling he went like this. Ha! Don't you know I'm God? And that the same God that kicked you out of heaven, I was right there and I was helping. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Nothing else will you value in that spot. Nothing else will you put in that spot. I don't care what it is that your promise that's made to you. I don't care what it is that the power that you can have through that. There is nothing that can replace God as the highest value of your life. He's the only one who is worthy. I've said it to you a million times. I love Cheryl, but I don't make her my God. She'd be a poor God. I know she loves me. She does not worship me. I would make a poor God for her. And one day we'll both, somebody's going to leave here first. And hopefully you'll still have the one who sits high and looks low. You'll still have the one who's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You'll still have the one who can satisfy all your needs in Christ Jesus. Jesus tells Satan, I cannot worship you. My worship belongs to the Father. So if we want strength, is this correct? Is this on it? Trust the Holy Spirit's leading. One day, Micah, you're going to have to cut away from mama. But I hope you don't just stand on your own. Because there is a force out there that will tell you, you can do it. Pull yourself up by your own group staffs. There is. Oh, Satan is still busy. And I'm saying to you that there is a God who came into you when you got baptized through Jesus Christ, who loves you more than your mama does. And Jesus was once asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he came down. He said it's really worship, didn't he? He said, love God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your mind. The last one, trust the Holy Spirit's testing. Many of you know that for many years, just like I've served as a pastor, I've served as a professor, and I just loved giving students tests. No, I didn't. I didn't love to give student tests, but it was mandatory. It was not something that was optional. There had to be something that demonstrated that they had taken on the extra knowledge or the extra skills, and now they had a higher competence. Are y'all with me? And the reason I kept that job is because I kept ahead in terms of new knowledge for myself, because there was always smart students coming in. And some of them would know what you know. And these students today, I mean, are, you know. And I always said that the ones who get an A, they will be the practitioners. The ones who were brilliant, they will become the next professors. You see, you need somebody in your life who's going to challenge you. You need somebody in your life who's going to raise the bar for you. Not so that it's so heavy that, oh, I'm not going back there no more, because all they do is speak in Greek and Hebrew, and all they do is talk about the Amalekites and all these other kind of folk, and I don't know who they are, but each and every one of us needs somebody to challenge you, to reach a little further, to reach a little higher. And I'm saying this is the job of the Holy Spirit. Put a little bit more weight on the bar. Just enough so that you put forth the effort where you are supposed to. So the devil says to Jesus, so if you worship me, I'm sorry, I went too far. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. In other words, what I want you to do is I want you to do a show. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all ever seen Stephen Curry? You ever see sometime at the beginning of the game, they're not playing yet, but he'll take a shot from all the way down almost at the other end. And I've seen him make it. Not every time, but I've actually seen him make that. And that's sort of a show. You don't ever see him do that in the game. Now, he shoots pretty far out, but he's not going to do that one because the coach will probably say, if you don't sit yourself down, you're not out here to put on a show. You might be that good that you are a show, but that's not your job. You're not here to be a minstrel. You're a minister. Your job is to help the team. Satan is trying to tell Jesus, put on a show. And he knows exactly the show he wants him to put on. It's Psalms 91, 11 and 12. He says, for it is written. You see, Satan knows Bible. He says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. In other words, Jesus, it's in the Bible that if you jump off the highest temple, you can call the angels and the angels will come and they will touch you before you fall. And everybody will say, oh, what a great man of God this Jesus is. Jesus says, that's not the way it's done. I'm not a minstrel. I'm not a show. I would imagine, I've never been that good at something. I mean, when you're real, real good like that, or even like Curry, able to shoot from half, you know, past half court. But to actually try to do that in a real setting that I don't ever want to be accused of being a minstrel. Or what's that person that the king used to have that used to dance around all the time? A what? A jester. I don't ever want to be accused of being a court jester. I'm a minister. I'm a servant of God. And he leads me. And he teaches me. And when I'm broken, he lifts me. And so I don't have any other choice than to say, Lord, you put more weight on me. Or you put whatever it is that will take me to be what I need to be. For you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't confuse tests with temptation. Because God never tempts anybody. But God does test us. See, temptation means to be led into something that is ungodly. God tests us so that we'll be able to be of greater service to him. In James 1, 2, and 3, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that word trials means tests. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In other words, the ability to go on. How many want to go on a little bit further? That perseverance finishes work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left Jesus until another opportune time. In other words, no matter how many times you pass with Jesus, I mean with Satan, he's going to come back. But you know what? You should have got me when I was in kindergarten. You should have got me when I first got baptized. You see, because I'm much stronger now. I know better now. I understand better now. And I know how to get stronger in my spirit, which will tell my flesh, don't you go there. It'll tell my mind, even though that looks right, that's not right. Jesus returned to Galilee in the what? In the power. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. How many of you could use a little more power? Why don't you stand to your feet if that's you? You don't have to be phony on this, but if you could. I don't know what the area is, but I think Jesus tells us pretty plain here, doesn't he? Spiritual strength. Go ahead, you tell us. Trust the Holy Spirit's leading. I don't know. Anything you need to do there? Think about it. Trust the Holy Spirit's teaching. You know, if you're not studying the Word of God, if you're not reading the Word of God, and you're not getting the food that he needs to open up that power with you. So that's just something to think about there. Trust the Holy Spirit's loving. I don't know, maybe you're broken. I'm pretty broken today. I mean, obviously. But I'm not out. I'm not down for the count. I want you to know something. And, you know, it's funny. While I was preaching to you, I never even thought about the leg anymore. So, I don't know. You know, sometimes, seriously, when you are serving God, you forget about your problems. Or you don't think about them as much. And that's a good thing. I heard a person once ask this woman, she had 12 children. That's a lot of kids. Which one do you love the most? And she said, you know, I love all of them equal, but the one that I show my love to the most is the one that's hurting, the one that's broken, the one that's in need. And I want to say to you that out of all of the billions of people on the earth, God sees your brokenness. God sees your hurt. God sees where you are emotionally going through some upheaval. And he wants to give you power. I'm not talking about, you know, this hocus pocus stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about God wants to really love you. And in the last one, trust the Holy Spirit's testing. Nobody likes a test. I know it. But I tell you when your best students will validate you. It's not the day after school is over. It's not even the day after graduation is over. It's 10 years down the road when they're stronger and they're in their careers, their vocations, and they're stronger in doing their ministries, and they're stronger in their marriages, and they're stronger in doing whatever thing that it is that they feel is important for them. Then they call you back and say, I remember what you said and how you said it. And even though I didn't like that grade you gave me, I'm better. And I want you to know, I appreciate you. Spiritual strength. Where do I need to trust the Spirit more? I'm going to ask our counselors if they'll come up, and our music ministers. And you know, you think, where do you start? Well, where did Jesus start? Remember, Jesus just got baptized. And here he is now going into the desert. And you begin with the baptism. You begin with the accepting of Jesus Christ as your Lord. He's the one that's over me. More than my mama, my daddy, more than anybody. He's the one that's over me.